Tyler's an Omega, and Haley bit the ruff of his neck to mark him with her scent for other alphas.
You know so much about the Omegaverse.
And it's all through, what's the word? Not what Osmosis Jones does. Oh, osmosis.
What Osmosis Jones does? He's not going to call Jeremy because Jeremy will kill them both. So he calls Dr. Fell.
Yeah, I wouldn't call Jeremy.
No, don't call Jeremy.
Wait. They're too good together. Bridget literally said they're too healthy together. They're too stable. Something's going to happen. And now the boom, episode Haley. After, boom, Haley shows up
Haley's
and is like,
comet falls out of the sky.
Damn.
Just like a Coachella hussy, like turning up at the door.
Hi, I'm Morgan.
And I'm Elle.
And this is
The Vampire Journals.
Season 4, Episode 3, The Rager.
Yeah, Rebecca throws a rager.
Yeah.
Big teen party with the red rager? Solo cup.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't raging at all.
The party that they spent most of the time in an empty kitchen for.
Well, yeah, for a woman who was last alive during the bootleggy 1920s, she really could have thrown a wilder party.
Yeah.
Yeah. We saw her killing people in speakeasies.
She really, she dropped the ball on the amount of loose women that she could have invited.
Yeah.
But I guess if from her POV, she's like, all the women are loose, then she's like, I guess I don't have to try to have a good party.
Maybe
that's
she's
fair.
Still in prohibition mode. So all the real party was in the basement and underground bunkers.
Yeah, all the coolest teens in school.
She was limited by the amount and types of people she could invite.
She limited herself.
It was an anti-curfew party
that she threw
for teenagers.
For teens, because she decided to attend high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, she could be at the club right now.
Yeah, she could be anywhere else.
And oh my God, the year it is, club music is so good. The music playing at the club in this year.
Yeah.
And she's at a high school party voluntarily.
I mean, she doesn't know anything about music in this year.
When do you think
that year? You were at a party instead of the club.
I couldn't have gone to the club.
I mean, yes, you could have.
I think I was underage.
I mean, yes, you definitely were.
Yeah, I guess, okay, I didn't get a fake ID and go to the club.
Right.
Yeah, did you?
No. Oh. Was I the only person who had a fake ID?
I still don't have an ID.
I had my cousin's canceled passport.
I had my cousin's expired over 21 driver's license.
Okay. So you use that to buy underage alcohol and get into clubs.
Buy underage alcohol?
Mostly just get into goth clubs in New York City.
Gotcha. What did you use your pay for?
Buy weapons in the black market.
Actually, I'll believe you. I don't know. I had peers buy things on Silk Road when I was in high school.
But the way Shane would be missing a foot if they had access to a weapon.
If you bought a chainsaw for funsies at 16.
Yeah.
Yeah, trajectory of life changed.
I used it to get into a brogue, which was a bar that pretty much let everybody in anyway.
I showed you the picture of my sister's fake ID and how it misspells Pennsylvania as Pennsylvania.
So funny.
I never had a fake ID. I do remember there were kids in my year that got them off the internet.
Mm.
But I would stand outside of liquor stores.
Mm.
Like a reasonable teen girl.
That was a thing that teens did.
He would just say, you play Hey Mister.
Yeah.
And it would work?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it would. A lot of adults are creepy.
Yeah.
That is creepy.
Especially when I let them keep the rest of the 20.
Okay. That's
a
less creepy, I think, because then it's just they're doing it for money and not because they want to impress a teenage girl.
Yeah. That's why they walked up.
Yeah.
Because they knew I was going to give them the rest of the 20.
In our studio, we have guest experts. first one, Hannah Chiapano.
Hi, I own a brewery and we are debuting our new beer,
Wolf Venom.
God. Wow. Describe the flavor profile of this IPA.
I would say it's acidic. It's piney. We've got juniper berry, coriander, venom from a wolf.
From a wolf? How did you obtain that?
Sort of just a guy came up and was like, yo, I've got this sort of goldenish liquid in a syringe that I
from a teenage boy.
He didn't say that part. He just said, like, I totally yoinked this out of wolf's venom holes. And
I wasn't aware that wolves had
venom holes.
Venom holes.
But because when they bite you, the venom
from the wolf.
Yeah,
the wolf's venom. Which, I mean, apparently does exist according to this episode of The Vampire Diaries.
Yeah,
I also do. So is there a way, you know, would this be like, what's the organization? Is it PETA? Can you get like animal cruelty certified? Is this cruelty-free wolf venom?
Man, I don't need that heat right now. all I know is that a guy came up to my brewery, said, I've got some wolf venom. You should put this in a keg. Mm-hmm. I whipped up a new brew.
I think you put fentanyl.
Or wolf
and then
piss.
I sold it to a teen. I'm a businessman.
Yeah, and she took it to that party, and teens drank that mysterious liquid for sure.
Teens love wolf venom, my new beer.
If you want to know if fentanyl is actually in it, just put a cop within 3 feet of it. Doesn't need to touch it. Just 3 feet, and the cop will drop to the floor.
Yeah, the fumes.
If the cop drops, you got fentanyl.
Wolf if the cop drops, not, you gotta stop. That's the rule of thumb.
Yeah. Wolf venom is not fentanyl. He told me he got this from locally grown organic wolf.
Great. And then we have Shane.
I'm the Ormond. The Mickelson's interior decorator. I designed their open plan kitchen, which it's a new kind of Scandinavian design, and you can just like fill it with people and it still kind of feels empty. like no matter how many people you put in there, you can just like curate these really intimate moments between you and another person.
Yeah, absolutely. So is it like crucial to the design to have the sink in the middle of the kitchen with a garbage disposal?
Yeah. It was a plot point that they requested.
A plot point for the interior design?
Yeah.
Oh, is an interior design like, kind of a story?
Yeah, they're like narratively.
Narratively.
This is the story we want to tell. And the story we want to tell is
garbage.
Stuff is going to get eaten.
The story we wanted to tell is, what if there's a hole with teeth?
That, by the way, I don't know if you know this. Garbage disposals are an American thing. Whoa. Like, all around the world, people don't have a weird monster in their sink who eats their trash.
It's really useful.
It's cool. I like it.
I don't have one right now in my current sink, and I miss her.
Yeah, ours has been broken for years, so now I just need to, like, put on a glove and do it myself.
Other countries should know about it.
You put on a glove and you go...
Elle puts on one of those Dom gloves where it's like, it's got those like really long spike nails.
Yeah, it just kind of spin really fast.
Has anyone ever yassified Freddy Krueger?
Oh, my God. Morgan, stop the podcast. We have to yassify Freddy Krueger.
We're done here. Before we
no
move
Freddy
on,
Kruger.
Before we move on,
Freddy Cougar, and he's like a hot older woman.
I love that.
Thanks.
Before we move
Freddy
on,
Kruger.
I'm just gonna call out Shane real quick. I know you're not wearing headphones, but don't touch the cord to your microphone because you will make noise.
I'm not gonna touch it,
and it's noise you can't hear.
I'm just gonna move one more a little bit.
Yeah, you're saying you won't
stop touching it
in such a defensive tone.
I won't. Daddy, no.
Just no.
Daddy, no.
Father, please.
Why, Papa? Why?
We open the episode with Tyler being guarded at the hospital. And then Connor shows up.
So wide. I wish I had like a full screenshot of that image so I could make it my computer background of him just like lying down, eyes as wide as they can go.
His reaction to that was so funny. Basically, somebody takes out the guard outside his hospital room because last episode he got shot by that vampire hunter in front of the whole town. And I honestly was so distracted by how funny his face looked that I forget what happened next. Oh, the vampire hunter came into his room and like
held him down and extracted his werewolf venom with a big syringe.
Yeah.
And then I said, oh no, he's milking Tyler because...
because
that's a funny thing to say to me. And also...
factually what happened.
And yeah, when you take a snake's venom out of their teeth, it's called milking.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you milk a viper.
Ew. I've seen them do the viper one with the... So, like, you have the little thing with the, like, rubber top and their teeth go in and then it drips down.
Yeah, they'll kind of just get them to bite, like, a dummy thing. And they more, like, tap them like a maple tree, I guess.
Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. No. Right, what you said.
And he doesn't, like, he has Tyler, like, paralyzed and on the bed. Doesn't kill him. Just leaves him lying there, like...
Yeah.
I guess it's sort of a doppelganger blood situation where he's going to want more of that.
Oh, he's going to come back and keep milking this boy?
This is also how we learn that werewolves have venom.
Which is so funny.
Yeah.
Because we had known that the werewolf's bite killed Vampyr.
And it's always been like the infection at the bite site. Like it's like venom.
Yeah. And it like
in the body.
I think we had assumed it was like a magical infection.
Right.
Not so much a venomous.
Like, honestly, I had just sort of been thinking about it like as far as rock, paper, scissors, right? Where like wolf bite beats vampire.
Yeah.
Cool. Done.
Yeah.
And now we know it's because of the wolf venom.
It's
because
when Tyler turned into a werewolf, he developed sacs in his jaw.
Yeah.
Full of venom.
His
upper mandible
has venomous reserves.
Wow. When Tyler gets, when he goes to the dentist and gets a regular x-ray.
It's going
to
be crazy because he's also got vampire teeth there.
Yeah. He's got big spooky teeth and big venom sacs.
And of course, he's immortal.
And it's like, who's going to give him a mouth guard now?
He doesn't need the dentist. His teeth will never rot.
Damn.
Oh.
I think he's a little dirty though, right?
Yeah, do you get back still?
You might need to get him cleaned. But also, like, it's a miracle he's not, like, killing Caroline every time he goes down.
No, wait.
It's like every time
he goes
up,
where?
Anywhere
he goes
with her.
To give her a gentlemanly kiss on the back of the hand.
I really thought you were going to say a gentlemanly kiss on her vagina.
Yeah.
On her vagina. No, it's a good thing. The amount of privilege that Tyler has that he can... pretend to get shot, pretend to go to the hospital, pretend to chill in the hospital for a few days, and just like rack up all these bills and it's fine.
Well, he really gets his comeuppance this episode because after last episode when he got shot in front of everyone and then his mom was like, well, we have to put the town on lockdown because my son got shot in front of
Tyler lockdown.
Yep, Lockwood lockdown. Tyler lockdown.
Okay, a moment of silence.
And like talking
for that.
About privilege, like that you get hurt and your mommy puts the entire town on lockdown.
And then
there
is an active shooter.
And then also Klaus is like, oh, I'm gonna lock you down even harder, Betty. Oh. I'm bringing in
It's been a long day. This is after a D&D game.
I should honestly, if that's the new like vibe. Yeah. Let's go for it. let's just go for it. I won't pause anymore. I'll just lean in. So the three hybrids, unnamed, are just sort of there.
Yeah, Klaus has brought in some backup to protect Tyler.
Yes, he swoops in with three random guys. Yeah.
He says, you lot are a dying breed. And he can't make more of them, so he wants to protect Tyler, which is really funny.
A wildlife preservation initiative.
He is putting like three or four of his hybrids at risk to protect one.
Yeah,
because it's sort of like a you don't have all the members of the cabinet in the same place at the same time.
Yeah,
you would think that he would prefer to just abscond with Tyler.
I think he just likes Tyler. Yeah. He's got a little thing for Tyler, but like.
That's why he felt so threatened by Haley.
Each of the hybrids as well are the most like indistinct looking brown haired bros.
they don't even come into the foreground for a moment.
They don't have names. No.
They're got a gauzy blur over them the entire time. Yeah. They could literally be like ghosts. Henchmen that have been killed in previous episodes, and we wouldn't know.
We would never be able to tell.
And they absolutely are about to be killed.
Yeah. I'm shocked that they're still alive at the end of this episode.
Yeah, they're on a winning streak.
If you could just stay like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, is this good for everybody? Hand.
Yep. Yeah. Right. Connor, the vampire hunter, goes back to his trailer. You see a bunch of like newspaper clippings. He's like investigating the farmhouse fire. And then he also has files on Elena and Jeremy. This normal thing to have about him to investigate Jeremy. Like, he's kind of tracking him down and following him around at school. Because was it
Jeremy clocked?
Jeremy clocked his tattoo,
and he clocked Jeremy clocking.
Yeah, he's
his
like
tattoo.
Sick ink. Which yeah. Is, yeah, and then leaves, and then Matthew. He's like what tattoo? And Jeremy's like, his giant tattoos.
It's like everywhere.
Yeah. And then we see him and they're not there I had thought ghost tattoos.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, great. Jeremy can see ghosts. Yeah. They have to be ghost tattoos. Yeah, yeah.
But turns out Jeremy can be two things.
It could be sort of like, what if it's sort of an ancestral thing? Like if he's...
That's what it seems like. Because like when Klaus was saying... Oh, and then the guy was like, what's that? Mm. Klaus was like, you don't know your history? Mm-hmm. It seemed lineal.
Yeah. So, yeah, Klaus's Viking knowledge?
You know.
Klaus recognized that if he had ghost tattoos, that must mean something relevant. But we don't know exactly what this is. And that was kind of the stinger at the very end of this episode of like, this is relevant, and Klaus knows what the deal is. Dun, dun, dun. Mm-hmm. So the five, maybe it's like species, like vampires, werewolves, witches, and then two other things.
Oh, I thought it was like there's five guys.
I also thought it was five guys.
Yeah,
your burgers and fries are
legendary.
Nothing kills a vampire like a Cajun fry.
Around the bonfire, when we brought our ships ashore, we would tell tales of the burgers and the fries. And also those big sacks of peanuts that are free.
Okay, I'm Googling what the symbol looks like because I want to find out if it's just that same symbol that I know that Iceland puts on everything.
All right.
I think maybe you get like a handful of peanuts for free. You're not taking a sack.
Like, who's going to stop you?
Probably five guys.
They're not paid enough to physically stop you from taking all of the free nuts.
They never have five on staff at the same time.
Yeah, that's a rule. Because if all five of them are there, they'll like Voltron together into the five guy.
The Vegvasir is what it looks like. Now I'm going to Google if that's what's in the Vampire Diaries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he's following Jeremy around trying to recruit him, saying like, well, if you can see my tattoos, it means you're like a hunter or a potential hunter. Because no one else can see them unless you are potentially one of the five.
It's like gay dudes clocking each other at work.
Yes.
Yeah. The question is what differentiates a hunter from someone who hunts vampires.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
One of the five, they're differentiating it from someone like Alaric.
Yeah. Okay. Who's, I guess, an amateur to them.
Yeah. Okay. I have background on the symbol.
Because Alaric won't grow tattoos.
Excuse me?
You know.
Okay. So the symbol that he had carved into the like bullets and his stakes and stuff.
Yeah, go for it.
It is the Vegvasir. Oh. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, but I recognized it because Jeannie's stepmom went to Iceland and it's on a bunch of tourist stuff from there. And it's the Icelandic magical stave intending to help the bearer find their way through rough weather. Allegedly. And if this sign is carried, one will never lose one's way in storms or bad weather, even when the way is not known.
Oh, is that relevant to something more?
I'm connecting dots.
Was it foreshadowing something?
It's very loosely connected.
It's all connected, but loose like.
Yeah.
It's all connected, but there's slack between the red strings.
So what do you think that means if the
Oh, I think it was the first result that they found when they Googled rune symbol.
Yeah.
Cool runes.
There's gotta be though, because like So if Jeremy has the potential to be this, it can't just be a genetic thing. Maybe it's like a combination of genetics and like some sort of like activation ceremony. Like maybe
how Tyler needed to kill a guy before he could be a vampire.
Yeah, and how you have to activate your almonds before you eat them.
That's right. And my charcoals.
You gotta activate your Jeremy's before they can hunt vampires.
Before he can become the Slayer.
There was
Jeremy Vampire Slayer.
There was a couple of like Buffy-ish feeling things going on in the episode made me feel like there was a Buffy fan. Like Stefan being like
the vampire hunter ship for sure, obviously.
Yeah. And then Stefan was like, Elena was having a nice time, and Stefan called over Caroline and he was like, I see her having a nice time, and I wanna join her having a nice time.
Yeah.
But if I do, I'll go to the dark side. I don't think we've established that. That hasn't been established. And that's Angel from Buffy.
He wants to be Angel so bad. Oh, he wants to be Angel so bad.
He has to have been cast because he looks kind of like David Boreanaz by way of Robert Pattinson.
Robert Pattinson. Do we think that Klaus was supposed to have been their answer to Angel? Spike.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Spike? Yeah, he's got a British accent. No.
Okay, but obviously Damon would be the Spike if we're talking about an Angel Spike dichotomy.
Yeah, but you've already loaded up on that in the first season. You need a Spike to like mix things up.
You need a Spike on top of your Spike. Yeah,
they literally brought in a Norse vampire who talks like this, mate. Also,
Spike was never Norse.
No, this guy is Norse and he doesn't talk like a Norseman. He talks he's from London, Johnny.
But to be fair, he moved from Norway to Virginia. He picked up the British accent.
He was in England for a time because that's where he met Catherine. Yeah.
That was later than when we saw him in the flashback.
But he could have picked up an English accent.
But didn't he have the accent in the flashbacks when they were in the
Hold on. There was a wild comment made in this specifically about his accent.
Yes, this is so funny.
It was
Haley.
Tyler's secret girlfriend from the Appalachias.
Mm-hmm. Haley.
And she
found a third way to say it.
She clocks Klaus immediately because he's like, all right, love. And she's like, oh, you must be an old one because of that accent. And it's like, what? There are no British vampires other than the originals?
In the Vampire Diaries, England fell centuries ago.
It's gone.
It's alternate history, but we're not going into it.
The United States recolonized England.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Vampires just realized that they didn't want any more British vampires at some point. They're just like, let's not turn these people.
Oh boy. They absolutely cast some people before they figured out the Viking stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Or they just found a man with the glossiest lips they could and cast for that.
Imagine an alternate universe where the Skarsgårds, instead of going to True Blood, they went to Mystic Falls.
Oh no.
Is there more than one Skarsgård in True Blood?
I think it's just the one. Yeah, I think
this is
the one.
But imagine creepy little Skarsgård as a vampire.
Like Bill.
You know the one I'm talking about.
I do,
Was a vampire.
He'd be great at it.
Bill played an Oopier, which was what they were calling them in Hemlock Grove.
Oh, yeah.
So
he's done it.
You could bring in Daddy Skarsgård to be like Klaus's daddy.
Yeah.
And then he could make one of the baby Skarsgårds cry.
That's who he played in Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia?
Mamma Mia.
Did he play a Skarsgård daddy?
The Skarsgård daddy was in Mamma Mia, and he was a traveler. And he had a sailboat. And he laid down some pipe. And he hooked up with Molly Weasley. That was her real name. I'm forgetting that actor's name.
So
I feel like we've said nothing about the plot of this episode so far.
I said so much, Shane. Yeah. Why are you listening?
Have some wolf venom.
Let's move on to Matt. Matt has been volunteering his blood to Elena.
Yeah.
In secret. So
poor boy.
Stefan doesn't know. I don't think Damon knows either.
Elle and I decided that we're just happy that Elena's moved from being passively toxic to actively toxic.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people in this episode who take that step. Rebecca goes full actively toxic.
Mean girl. Like,
yeah, mean girl warfare upon Elena.
Yeah, she could have gone harder, but yeah.
She could have gone
she's
harder.
She's warming up.
But
I think that she can really, she's jogging now, but I think
yeah.
she can
I think
run
it's a lot
episode.
Of,
she
could, yeah. it's a lot of gall from someone who like murdered her. You know, okay. it's like yeah. she was the one who did wrong.
And there's yeah. kind of like, there's a suggestion that the reason that she's pushing people away right now is because she's afraid of being rejected by them.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
we garner from like...
When she fantasizes Matt yelling at her.
Yeah.
And she has a
yeah.
hallucination of Matt saying
yeah, while she's working that wolf venom
yeah,
through
like,
the system.
Yeah. She's a mean girl in high school, but it's because she's insecure.
By wolf yes. venom.
I love what her Matt hallucination says to her, by the way.
Yeah.
He goes, you're oh, yeah. amazing. And she smiles and he's just like, you've had 1,000 years to like grow and learn and mm-hmm. you just haven't.
Yeah. Oh, that was
brutal.
So
I
good.
Mean, she's literally in high school and throwing a high school party. Yeah. When she's telling this to herself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
An anti-curfew rager.
She's been in Arrested Development. And I think...
Oh my God! Who was she in Arrested Development?
Portia Rossi. No.
No.
We're not all the same.
It's... What, blonde?
You just... We're not all the same, Mark.
Yeah. Wait, I don't know whether
you're not
it's
Portia?
Her.
I'm not Portia de Rossi. I'm not married to Ellen DeGeneres.
And thank God. What happens with Matt?
She starts sucking on Matt's blood in the spot where they used to kiss, carrying over that theme from last episode where they're starting to equate like sharing fluids as being like sexually charged.
Intimate. Yeah.
Intimate.
Well, it's mostly like, it's just like vampire to vampire. They call it blood sharing.
Blood sharing.
Because you're not actually like,
Elena's?
You're not like eating them. You're
yeah,
sharing
yeah.
Because
it's
blood.
The same goo just going around. It's like yeah. drinking your own piss.
Yeah. Elena's fluid bonded to a few people right now.
Yep.
Yeah. Stefan
oh, yeah.
through the normal way, and then Damon and Matt through blood.
She's had 3 separate boys in her mouth in the last 2 episodes.
Wow.
Go off.
I mean...
We don't know for sure that Stefan... We don't know for... Last time we saw them hooking up, she started puking blood. So we don't know for sure,
I'm sure
how
like,
recently...
His tongue has been in her mouth.
Yeah, I guess.
So, like, that's a part of it.
That counts.
That counts. Jesus. And then, so... Every time I think she drinks from Matt, she's just, like, kind of breaking down little by little. Mm. At the beginning, she has, like, really good control over herself. She's able to, like, stop... drinking from Matt.
But does she have too much control? Because she drinks from him and Matt says, is that enough? And she says, no, but I don't trust myself to go any yeah. further. Mm. And it's like, later she feeds on Matt too much and almost kills him, except Damon intervenes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that because she wasn't feeding her hunger properly until then? And she wasn't teaching herself to like feed responsibly?
It could be that. It could also be that, like, she was breaking down and her emotions were, like, extra heightened because of everything that happened with, like, Rebecca.
So, like, letting
like,
herself...
She was mad.
Letting herself feed her rage internally can also lower her inhibition.
And it's kind of circular because she's getting mad at Rebecca because she's, like, grungry as well. Like, she's getting pissed because she's never full.
Because that's, like, a huge part of being a new vampire is that you're... What did you say? Grungry. And what does this mean?
You're grumpy hungry.
Grumpy hungry.
Yeah.
So you're saying grungry instead of hangry.
In Europe we say grungry, don't we?
So when you're doing a Europe accent
back in the old world.
Europe where world. You're from.
Haas. Where I am from.
Why aren't you doing your accent?
My accent. All my everything I say is my accent. By virtue of me saying it.
Damon goes to the hunter's trailer and sets off a booby trap.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets really annoyed.
Yeah, the booby trap is it shoots an arrow through him, and the arrow has a little string on the back that is connecting it to a bomb.
So can I just say, this trap construction does not make sense to me.
No, me neither.
Because the only thing that stops it from triggering is that it is taut.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The line is taut.
Yeah.
But I feel like the positioning of it, like, it would be really easy for it to sail over a shoulder and thus only explode. Or, like, the only thing that's stopping it from going any further is the meat it's plunging into.
I wasn't 100% clear on that, because it seemed that sometimes that, like, it might have been triggered by pulling away, like a pin pulling away. And then I was, like, wondering, does it have to be taut? It wasn't 100% clear.
Yeah.
No.
Because if it's it being taut, then it would have exploded when he took the arrow out and threw it down.
Yeah.
So okay. It has to be pulled away. Okay. So then you could have just moved.
That's
closer.
Why there were two. Yeah. That's why there were two.
Oh, there were two.
Because there were two in opposite directions. Yeah. So you couldn't move towards one without pulling the pin out of the other.
Fun little saw trap.
That's fine. But didn't he only get hit by one?
He got hit by two.
Yeah, hit by two.
Okay. And then when he moved it into the hospital later, that they definitely had two.
He got spit roasted from both sides?
Again, yeah.
Oh my David God. David
keeps getting
penetrated from both sides.
He keeps getting penetrated with
in the
shafts.
Front and back with, with shafts.
I think it was the sides.
But it was like, you know, the front of one shoulder, the back of another shoulder.
I think it was his front and his back in the trailer. The vampire hunter got sides.
It sort of forced him into a somewhat uncomfortable position.
He calls
and then
Dr.
Who does he call Fell?
Fell. Yeah. Dr. Fell.
Like, and I guess this is to show, like, how much at sea Damon is now, and how, like, he is not feeling connected or close to anybody that he was up until this point.
Yeah.
He doesn't have Alaric. He doesn't have Stefan. He doesn't have Elena.
He's so lost without Alaric. It's so funny.
He's not going to call Jeremy, because Jeremy will kill them both.
Yeah.
So he calls Dr. Fell. Like,
even though he's been talking to Jeremy.
Yeah,
I wouldn't call Jeremy.
No, although, don't call Jeremy.
Like, Jeremy was part of this plan.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Like Jeremy was part of it, but he didn't want to bring Jeremy.
Yeah.
He was part of the plan to lure Connor to the hospital.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that later.
If I was being
it's
generous.
It's so funny this guy's name is Connor.
Yeah,
me too. It wrecks my head.
He doesn't give
Connor at all.
He gives, like, his name should be like Bishop.
Ooh.
Bishop.
Right.
Like from the X-Men.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know enough about the X-Men. Is that a cool character?
Yeah. It's like a black time traveler who comes back to kill Professor Xavier and save them all from themselves.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's great. He's got a tattoo over... He's got a tattoo!
Whoa!
Of an M over his eye.
And I was thinking like
oh, that's so funny that you're saying that it's an M, because I was just thinking, what if his name was M. Bison?
M. Bison! But I think I just want him to have like a cool kind of like religious-y sounding name, because he was affiliated with that dead
pastor.
Okay, but we actually don't know how affiliated he really was. Like, because he's been saying different things to different people, right? Like, he told Jeremy he was a social worker. He told someone that he was on it. Oh, he told Damon he was on environmental cleanup.
He told the mayor he was an independent contractor.
Yeah, contractor.
Or the sheriff, I think.
Everybody is just letting him into schools and letting them take children away. Nobody is asking to see identification.
It would be weird if they started now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With him.
Yeah.
It would be like, oh, why do we have new rules now? Just because your son got shot in front of everyone at a funeral? At a mass funeral because
for all the other people that,
for all
just,
the
died.
Other people that just died,
and there's suddenly a new person in town, like just walking around your school.
Yep. You guys have to boost your population, like, they can't keep carding everyone, because, like, that's more barriers to boosting the population, which is dwindling.
They should really switch Mystic Falls High School to like online learning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes,
I think they should be going into school.
They just need to contract some Phoenix.
Speaking of the school, they were in history class without Alaric for the first time, and I don't think we met
The new teacher at all. I assumed it was going to be the vampire hunter, but they were just in a class with no teacher, and then the scene changed.
Yeah, it was just Rebecca handing out invites to her rager.
They were just like, "Here we are in class. You know that you, the viewer, remember our teacher dying.
Remember Alaric? Won't address it. Remember Alaric?
They just do self-study. They're still learning about the Civil War.
Yeah, there was the Civil War was on the board. Someone
wrote, "Who are the major players?" It said South against North. They've been learning about the Civil War for like 3 years at this point.
Do you think the Civil War thing is like a hint? Like maybe Connor is some sort is from like a vampire faction or something.
Ooh.
Or maybe he's imbued with some sort of vampire
What
you think doesn't matter because you know.
Well, what I think is that every season the writers are going to be like, bad guys versus good guys. This is like the Civil War.
This is just like the Civil War.
I don't think that was the sense that they were giving when they were referencing the Civil War in like the first season. They were
in the
like,
first one, it was like, oh, there's two brothers that are fighting. And it's like famously brothers. Well, there's
the council.
Like, which is the good guys and the bad guys because two of the stars fought for the South.
Yeah.
And, oh my God, as vampires, they rose again.
Wow.
Like Jesus.
No, like the Seth.
They haven't risen again yet. Okay. No jinxes.
Yeah, they will. Yeah.
No jinxes.
Everyone knock on wood so the South doesn't rise again.
I do love that Shane just said that the South is just like Jesus. I did really feel that.
If the South succeeds before this episode comes out, like we gotta take a note on that.
Speaking of offensive regional tropes, the fact that Haley, the surprise werewolf that came out of nowhere, was like, I tied you up all up and down the Appalachians. Everyone kept saying Appalachians in this episode, which is like so common, where it's like, it's just that thing where it's like, oh, like Butte, Montana. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't know, it's not pronounced but.
Yeah, it's
you're
spelled,
gonna say but.
It's spelled in a butt like way.
She's probably like from California originally.
Yeah.
And then she turned into a werewolf, joined the werewolf tribes in
the mountains,
Appalachians.
Appalachians.
Oh, okay. So Shane, just like for the listener, can you just like go ahead and let us know how someone in the mountains would say it?
In the Appalachians?
In the where we
were? The Appa.
Okay, you're going further.
Well, it's long.
It is pretty long. So
there's a lot of regional dialects and accents throughout. And
oh, is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
Might be.
Yep.
Yeah, have we talked about... So that girl that is just in Tyler's house...
Yeah.
She was the most random,
right? Okay, last episode, Bridget called that they were going to try to, and by they, I mean the writers, sabotage Caroline and Tyler.
Oh,
because
yeah.
they are setting her up for Klaus or Stefan.
Because they're too wonderful together.
Yeah, because they're too good together. Bridget literally said they're too healthy together, they're too stable, something's going to happen. And now the Haley shows up
Haley's
and is like,
comet falls out of the sky.
Like a Coachella hussy, like turning up at the door.
Coachella
being like,
hussy is exactly her vibe.
Her little outfit.
Yeah, discount Coachella Mila Kunis rocks up into the... Okay, I don't want to be like rude to her, but she's definitely like a Mila Kunis, Lucy Hale type.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which was very blended. Popular at that time.
Ponyo.
What was that?
It was Ponyo snarfling into the couch. And then Shane says, good.
Be good.
That's what my dog
it's
looks
aspirational.
Like. She just looks like her.
She went like full Cronenberg.
Haley materializes in little jorts in a Hollister tank and
fresh lip injections.
Oh yeah, she looks good.
She looks great.
She looks incredible. She looks incredible, and she.
I think Tyler's gonna get a fresh lip injection.
Get over here. Let me give you a lip injection.
20 cc's of this.
Let me give you 20 cc's of this.
I need 20 cc's. I need 20 cc's of Juvederm.
Let's try this again. Oh, Haley arrives.
Haley arrives and is so horned up for Tyler. And is like, baby boy, you didn't tell me you were rich. Which, iconic. And she basically tells us, the viewer, she basically looks it down the camera and it says, hello, remember when Tyler was gone? He was fucking me.
I was what Tyler was doing.
She says, I helped you break your sire bond.
Yeah.
Which Tyler had said, yeah, I just sort of focused hard and made it happen. Like the last time we saw him,
he did.
So but no, another woman helped him.
A woman fixed him.
Yeah. Again. Wow. Again.
And Klaus is watching all of this, clearly putting two and two together and getting four. He's like,
he's enjoying
Tyler,
it.
I see you've cheated on your girlfriend.
The girlfriend I'm
kissed when I was in your body.
Oh, she's gonna be so mad at you, and I'm gonna look so much more normal in comparison.
I should have been able to tell the last time I was in your body that it had Haley's stink all over it.
Dude.
Wow.
What?
There is a lot
I don't mean like junk stink. Yeah. I just mean like her steez.
There is a lot of werewolf like
her werewolf
horny pheromones, testosterone smelling in this
Tyler's
episode.
Tyler's an omega, and Haley bit the ruff of his neck to mark him with her sick brother alphas.
You know so much about the Omegaverse.
And it's all through what's the word? Not what Osmosis Jones does. Oh, Osmosis.
What Osmosis Jones does?
Osmosis.
Track down viruses and bring them to justice. Yeah, is that what you do?
That's just how I remember the word osmosis.
Are we good?
For whatever Osmosis Jones. Oh, osmosis! I'm sweating. Guess what the sweat is doing from your pores? Tricks
leaking.
Yeah.
Okay, so the vampire hunter steals the venom from Matt.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's taking Jeremy out on like a little vampire hunting sesh together.
Yeah.
And when they're leaving, he very ominously says, he very ominously says, you know, we don't need to worry about any of the vampires at Rebecca's Rager as long as they're drinking.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then they cut to the label for my brewery.
You sponsored this party.
We'll which, fed him.
Yeah. And because of the how well the beer has been selling, I'm changing the name of the brewery to Wolf Venom because it's the coolest name for anything.
Mm-hmm. It is really cool. And like the logo basically designs itself.
Yeah.
For like a wolf with dripping fangs.
Ooh.
Yeah. And obviously he's...
And then the drips are going maybe into a beer bottle or a vat or anyway.
Yeah, because I'm milking a wolf for each vat.
Yeah, because you're milking a wolf for each vat.
Wolf venom.
Is there like a taste profile difference between alphas and omegas or when you milk them?
Sorry.
Don't answer that.
I have an answer.
The way we get here is the hunter actually tracks down Matt at school and pins him to the wall and
abuses a child.
Yeah, basically he's just like, you know,
he puts
who's your
knife to his throat.
Yeah. And he's like, who's your girlfriend? Because like he's been getting drunk from.
Mm.
And then Matt having like real bad feelings towards Rebecca right now, which is fair, calls out Rebecca.
Because again, Rebecca
Rebecca almost killed him.
Rebecca just saw him by his locker and was like, I'm sorry I ran you off the road, but don't you want to be my friend again?
Yeah.
She's cool and normal.
She's cool and normal. This, to be fair, this is the blueprint that Klaus has given her for human interaction.
Truly, truly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that...
Man, that mom was fucked up.
Yeah.
Based on the fact that Rebecca was throwing a party at all, he decides to put the wolf venom in the kegs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, like, where did he get access to the kegs? Like, how is he doing
just
this?
Sneak around.
I told you. He came to me.
Okay.
He said, bro, I got you some natural MG, GMO free locally sourced wolf's venom. And I said, hell yeah.
How do you know that werewolf ain't eating any GMOs?
The werewolf isn't a GMO.
No, no. How do you know they're not eating GMOs?
That's kind of irrelevant.
I think that Tyler...
Because it's not like we're worried about like, GMO water watering our GMO crops.
Well, it can't be like, for example, it can't be like gluten-free wolf venom if the wolf also eats wheat.
But that's not what GMO means.
I know, but it's...
But it's like the same, yeah. No, yeah. You're right. Mm-hmm.
It's
just metaphor. Sort of stuff so we read on the label.
There's wolf venom in the beer. Mm-hmm. And
it's gluten-free, GMO-free, gluten-free dairy-free... Beer? Yeah, no, it's all those things. Oh, I know that you're surprised that my beer can be this accessible to any drinker. Mm.
What are you going to say, Shane?
About wolf venom. Shane, what are you going to say about wolf venom?
It's okay.
Shane, now you have to say something.
No, I'm not going to say anything.
If you don't say it, I'll start talking about the Omegaverse again.
No. We're at the party and Elena and Rebecca. Well, Rebecca finds Elena in the kitchen and no one else is in the kitchen. You just have the remnants of like solo cups in the background, just mm-hmm. making like a very slight mess. Mm-hmm. But there's absolutely no one else in this kitchen.
No.
Rebecca palms her daylight ring and throws it in the garbage disposal.
Yeah. And then Elena starts burning in the sunlight. Oh, so and then. Good. Scuttles into a corner.
And it's just, it's so funny.
Like a spider, the Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, those two things.
Elena shows so much rage.
Mm.
It's a rager.
Oh.
Wow.
It's an enrager.
Yeah. They're so mad at each other.
The
yeah.
layers.
She's so mad.
Do you know who else is mad?
My dog.
Can you guys hear that in your earphones?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so cute. No, I don't want her to stop. Banyo, you're so cute.
Goblin.
Banyo, okay. You look insane.
She's so mad that Stefan's like, let's get out of here. They go on a motorcycle ride. Yeah. But she does a kegger stand. Before
that, there is the we're led to believe that there's werewolf venom in the beer. Stefan compels a guy mm-hmm. and gets a cup of beer from a guy. So Stefan has the poison beer
mm-hmm.
and then he passes it to Elena. Now mm-hmm. Elena has the poison beer. Elena's walking around the party with the poison beer.
She gets distracted from taking a sip.
She goes to take a sip and I think she's talking to April. Then she gets it back from April and she goes to Rebecca. When she leaves, the cup is with Rebecca. Rebecca finally takes a drink from the cup.
Yeah, yeah. I think Rebecca takes a sip right, like, as she's palming the daylight ring from Elena. Yeah.
As, like, a mocking, like... Mm.
Yeah, she gets them both. I really enjoyed that. I love the way that the cup was passed around and you had to see it.
Is that the,
and
like... Then, yeah, it's like a shell game.
Mm. It's like a shell game. And then you think, holy shit, Elena got away with it. Because we've been led to believe up till now that that's a death sentence.
Yeah. Well, because also, we don't actually have it confirmed yet.
Yeah.
That we don't have it. It's not confirmed for us yet that it's poisoned. It's just like he said, as long as they're at the party drinking, it'll be okay. And he could just mean like distracted, but then we're like keeping an eye on the cup.
Yeah. We're like, oh no.
And then you think Elena's got away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because Rebecca drinks her beer
and
she storms out and you're like, oh, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
And just as she's leaving, she gets like the genius idea to show Rebecca up by doing like the most insane fucking keg stand ever. And everyone goes.
And that shows her.
Rebecca is like genuinely like phased like, by it. Like,
damn it. I've been bested.
Yeah.
Everyone likes you more than me right now.
It's such peak, like, high schooler movie writing.
Yeah.
Like, type thing where it's like, I can't believe she did that.
And you know what? It's the kind of thing that I would make fun of as kind of, like, weak writing because Rebecca's supposed to be older and more mature.
Yeah.
But then they brought it back when Rebecca starts hallucinating.
Yeah, and about how much she hasn't grown.
And she's got, like, all this self-hatred about that inside. I'm like, damn, this actually works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At this moment, like right before she leaves, Hannah, I believe you called Stefan the king of harm reduction.
That's right, because he was...
Elena was about to stab Rebecca with the white oak stake.
Elena literally grabs the white oak stake and is like...
I love that this thing is like...
Where was she keeping that?
Her bag.
Yeah, you know. She had a bag.
She did, and it was ludicrously capacious. Stefan's like, okay, you could go kill her and then she'll be dead at her party and every vampire she ever turned will also be dead. Is that what you want? No, I didn't think so. Let's get away from here. Let's get on my motorbike. Let's have a seeking that divine moment where we're just sort of...
Yeah, be infinite for a moment.
Because she stands up on the back of his motorcycle and is just like arms spread, feeling the wind in her hair.
Yeah, and it's so not a green screen.
No, they're in the moment.
Just a beautiful combination of like green screen plus some stunt actors who look nothing like them, very, very far away, and you're only allowed to see them for like 30, like half a second at a time.
Yeah. I love how much the stunt actor was like, did what they were told and didn't put any spice on it at all. So they were just T-posing on the back of this. Like, it was really funny because like they don't look free at all.
No,
it looks like, look like someone's making them do this, which is what.
Like Elena has glitched out.
I'm fucking crazy, but I'm at work.
Yeah, so after she T-poses on the back of his motorcycle, I forget where they end up, but they start doing sexy time.
Yeah.
Stefan and Elena. Mm-hmm. And maybe her cabin? Back
at home.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're hooking up back at home. And then, dun-dun, he looks like Damon.
What? Yeah. And she's hallucinating that it's Damon. Because she got the venom.
Every time they've tried to bone in the last two episodes... She has gotten horribly sick.
Yeah.
Stefan started to give her the ick.
Yeah.
No, that's so sad. I was saying that the last episode is when I like truly decided that, okay, so like we know that Elena is a bit of a sad sack, kind of like can't have fun or enjoy anything without being like, but the terrors, you know? But that was like really cemented for me last time when like she was getting so horny for him in the woods and they were like about to like hook up hard and then she just is like and like vomits so much blood. I've decided that I no longer believe Elena can be happy.
Oh no, never. No, yeah.
Absolutely I don't even think she wants it. You know, like I don't think that's her goal. Have I talked about the like concept of a tragedy tornado here? This is my like it's like one of my types of people that I keep track of in my mind.
Say it
again. It's like the someone who's a tragedy tornado, like it doesn't matter like if they have bad luck or if like whatever, like they just are surrounded by things going wrong for them all the time and in a way that like they can't shake, and also you slowly start to suspect they don't want to.
Yeah, I think there's a point as well when like bad stuff happens to you so much, or at the very least you perceive bad stuff happening to you so much, you make it part of your identity.
Yeah.
So you're like, I'm a person who bad things happen to.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to break away from that. And Elena has been that from the very first episode.
And that's the only thing they can talk about too. And Elena's
they talked about how Elena used to be fun.
Oh yeah.
But we never got to see it.
Yeah, because we only saw her post parents' death. And like she sort of said that, I don't remember if it was this episode or last episode, where she was like, I feel like I've been crying every day since my parents died. We really haven't seen her not like this. So I don't know how, I don't know if this is sort of like an irreversible change.
She had fun on the back of the motorcycle.
Yeah, little moment. She did.
Yeah.
She did.
And then... another tragedy. Yeah.
And then tragedy struck when the wolf venom kicked in.
Yeah.
I can't believe you're victim blaming Elena for getting...
for drinking my cool beer.
She had to get her, they had to call in an out-of-town doctor to pump her stomach.
What did they do?
Oh, they called Klaus. And he said, lucky for you, I'm invested in you being alive again.
Yeah, why do you think that is?
I don't know.
Klaus is called over after his revelation with the hunter.
Oh, and he does say the best line. I love when people dunk on Stefan like this, because he's like, and just so you know, one voicemail sends the same message as nine.
Yeah.
Like something along those lines.
Yeah. Just to backtrack briefly, Jeremy lures the hunter to the hospital where Damon and Klaus have teamed up, set up a trap with the wire and the bombs from the trailer, his own stuff. Captures him, and then Damon ends up mentioning the tattoos, and then like Klaus, who's been having a good time the whole time, he's like, yes, wait, what? Just does so, like a double take, and he's like, you didn't mention any tattoos, Damon.
Yeah, before. And Damon's like, what does it matter? We can't sue him.
Yeah.
Which is so funny.
Also a little bit. Connor like palms a steak out of nowhere and takes a swipe at Stefan, and it's only that Klaus is there to catch him, and he says, I'm a little faster than a regular vampire.
Wow.
And then
what was that accent?
It's my Klaus accent, isn't it? All right, love. But and then later when like Connor,
it's like Klaus if he had like a couple of marshmallow peeps in his mouth.
Klaus Schweigerson.
When Connor tries to escape by triggering the bomb, he says, I'm a little faster than your average vampire hunter. Meaning this.
Okay, why have you given him a little bit of clash thing?
Meaning that Connor is not just like a very well-trained man with tattoos and lineage or whatever. Hell he's like supernaturally strong and fast.
He's
which we've
one
seen
of
him.
The five. Whatever he that
doesn't
means.
Really know nothing. What that means. We don't really have a good sense of his strength, like how it compares.
But we have seen him like lay out Tyler and Damon.
Okay.
With no problem. Yeah. And
had to paralyze Tyler.
He had to paralyze Tyler, but that's not the first time he's fucking laid out Tyler.
Okay.
And there was like when Damon ripped the door car off door. His car, he just came out of the car and put like Damon on the ground and then got on top of him with the stake.
Yeah.
You could kind of be like, oh, that's just, you know, technique or judo or whatever. But like, I think when he said that, I'm a little faster than your average hunter.
It means something. It does mean something for sure. Yeah.
Have we seen any other modern vampire hunters that aren't council members?
Nope.
Or
Alaric?
Okay, yeah. So he was sort of an organically occurring vampire hunter. He had a specific reason. He saw Damon eating his wife.
Yes.
Also.
Yeah, it was more revenge. Revengies.
Alaric said he was a vampire hunter.
He was like.
He used to go to Applebee's
Damon,
with his.
Damon, you know how you kill my wife? You're cooler than her.
She thought that going to Applebee's every night was lame.
And you love it.
He kind of started walking back that revenge after he realized Damon didn't kill his wife. Yeah, he just turned her and she wanted it.
But like,
I know.
Alaric ever killed a vampire?
I'm sure that there were some loose ones that he sniped.
Yeah, like unnamed ones.
Yeah, never any of
consequence. Some Gaussian blur brown-haired men.
Yeah. Boca. We're just talking about blurs, right?
Yeah.
Always think about the Bianca Del Rio soundbite. What do you do successfully?
Oh no.
Alaric.
So let's
wow. Something new to honk.
Let's predict. What do you think Klaus needs Elena for now suddenly?
It's always her blood.
Yeah, it's some creepy it fucking ritual. Blood.
I mean, if it was something where about being post-doppelganger, then he could also have Catherine. But, it could be her parents. Something to do with them because they were vampire hunters.
Maybe Elena is simply an avenue to get to Jeremy.
To get to the archives.
Ooh.
What are the archives?
They're nothing. Oh. There was that thing where the thing that I was trying to think of just now was the there was an episode where there was a historical society and like there was stuff mom left where it's like for the historical society.
I think they were like it was like a branch of a university.
There was like there was that, but there was also like someone
in the town who was like,
"Yes, you're so right."
Historical society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is absolutely a historical society that was a big part of the first season. But I can't remember if
it was a front for something.
I think it was. I think it was the council, or maybe it was Alaric trying to get at.
Oh.
Because Alaric,
we know that the parents definitely had artifacts.
Yeah, and, like, and
they had there was the secret room in the cabin.
So there could be like a big cool secret vampire hunter weapon that they would know.
That would be awesome.
That'd be cool.
There's no way as well that Elena's parents had like a secret room in the cabin and there wasn't like one sexy thing in there.
They were all sexy things. You camera equipment? Are you fucking kidding?
What, you want like a crossbow next to a ball gag?
Elena's just like, ew, dad.
I had a friend who's apartment hunting right now. And
secret sex room?
Not secret.
Oh.
They go in to the living room and there's like one of those full like BDSM crosses.
Hell yeah.
Surrounded by what was described to me as used panties.
No.
So it was more of a grimy vibe. It was more of a cigarettes and doors kind of color gotcha. To the wall. Yeah.
Not it wasn't sort of like a,
it wasn't well like a built, mirror on the ceiling.
It wasn't a well done section.
It wasn't sort of a like responsible number of hard points in the ceiling.
No, not at all.
Situation.
What my friend who would know said to me was, and it wasn't even a good BDSM cross.
Oh.
It was like kind of a cheap one.
What if like what's the BDSM? Is that the St. Andrew's cross?
St. Sebastian, St. Andrew's?
Probably St. Andrew's. So maybe it's a different saint.
One of the less good ones.
What's a worse Saint cross?
Saint Brad.
There's the guy. Who's the guy who's had the upside down cross?
Oh,
that'd be a bad BDSM cross.
Paul.
Yeah, the guy who's like, he's like, I'm not Jesus enough to.
Yeah,
be
you sort of install it wrong, way. And it's a different.
So
yeah.
Someone, different saint. Someone does like a split on it.
No, you just upside down. Jesus.
No, I want Morgan to think about what they're suggesting.
So your arms are pinned down and you're spread eagle.
So you're thinking if you were
so you're getting crucified upside down but on a regular crucifix.
No, but if the crucifix is upside down, then your legs are the ones going across.
So the actual guy was he was upside down when he was crucified.
Yeah, you know, spread eagle.
What's the bit?
No. That's what the actual guy was. He was still upright. Yeah. It's just that he had an ankle on each end.
That's how they got Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Do the splits.
But give it up for the real JC VD.
Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, venereal disease.
The episode ends.
I was thinking Jesus Christ, Vooperdar.
The episode ends. There's two things that happen. One thing happens a little earlier we didn't mention, but Rebecca basically offers to help April investigate the farmhouse fire.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's a thing happening
there.
These
two are desperate for a friendship.
Yes, they are.
Although it was, can I just say, I know I wasn't here for this episode, but like the fact that Elena was like, no, I can use compelling for good. April, I'll help you get through this. That was so much of her. That was so wild of her. And then we didn't really see her talking to April at all this episode.
Because it really talked to the party for a little
bit. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I thought it was really irresponsible of Elena to be like, here's how I'll define myself as a vampire. I will force this person into accepting my help.
And what happens then if Elena just gets caught up in her own stuff and completely forgets about April?
Then
like, is that going to break April's brain?
Yeah.
Like, in her head, she's like, well, Elena's going to help me. Elena's going to solve all this. But she
doesn't. I wonder if you're allowed to later think that something you were compelled into thinking, it was like, oh, I guess I was wrong.
Yeah, I guess I was stupid about that.
I guess I was wrong to trust her.
Damn.
It's also really, really funny how April and Rebecca end up meeting.
It's so sad.
Rebecca is in the throes of werewolf venom poisoning and having hallucinations in her room. And April comes in with like a trash bag and she's just picking up trash. And Rebecca is like, I thought everyone went home. And she's like, yeah, but cleaning up trash is better than going to my home.
Thinking alone. About how everyone in my family is dead.
Damn.
And Rebecca can
relate
yeah. because she's got no family right now.
Do you know who else can relate? Matt.
Yeah.
Just another loose teen in the world.
Oh, by the way, at one point the vampire hunter is like, Matt, I know a vampire's drinking from you. What's the deal? And I'm going to kill. Oh, wait, no. We talked about this already. But he put them on Rebecca.
Yes. We did it.
The episode ends with the hunter
he then
kidnapped by Klaus. So Klaus has the hunter. Mm. And I feel like there's going to be some exposition coming.
You're worth more to me dead than alive. Or alive than dead.
Can I ask for a little clarification? And he knows the history.
Klausification.
So does Damon think that the hunter died? Or did he give the hunter to Klaus?
Unclear.
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 Uncle
Lear.
Uncle Lear.
Kink fame, kink shame?
Ugh. I'll kink fame that shitty cross in your friend's apartment they didn't get.
Yeah.
And didn't choose because it was
apparently a very gross apartment. I don't know.
Morgan's fun idea.
Now I'm going to have to keep that story in.
Or you could cut this part too. I'll have a real kink fame. Okay, I will kink fame Haley for showing up out of the blue and being like, wow, this guy I hooked up with is rich, actually. That's very iconic of her and very troublemaking for Caroline. And I'll kink shame the vampire hunter dude for his trap that he set for his van because it wasn't good enough that it couldn't just be moved to a hospital room he could be exploded in.
Yeah.
I want him to be better at his job.
Yeah, that's really fair.
Because Damon gets away with fucking everything.
I'm going to kink fame. Fuck, I had both of them and I've forgotten both of them. I'll do your one.
Okay.
Edit this out.
I got one.
I'll kink shame Tyler for not telling Caroline that he cheated.
He's clearly
on her question mark.
Even if he didn't, he's clearly nervous.
Even if it was the like a we were on break.
The fact
situation.
That he never mentioned this whole person.
Yeah, he should have done that.
It's that feeling of like even like maybe he didn't cheat, but he's clearly I'm saying maybe because we don't know. I'm saying that he clearly is into her and he knows what it looks like.
Yeah, you know, it's I feel like the rule of thumb I've heard is like if you feel like any sort of compulsion to lie about it or conceal it, then you probably did something wrong.
Yeah.
Can I tie my kink shame to yours? Because I feel like they're related.
Sure.
I'm going to kink shame Klaus. For hiding Tyler's possible infidelity, but then also holding it over Tyler as like a bargaining chip, like threatening,
you're shaming that.
Yeah, see, which that you actually goes.
You don't think it's a little
that
hot?
No, because I was going to say that goes hand in hand with my kink fame, which is Klaus for doing the thing you just said. Because it's just like, I appreciate a messy bitch who lives for the drama.
Yes.
I love that. Obviously, he was wrong for that, but he was fun wrong for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kink fame. What's your kink fame?
Kink fame, Caroline, for calling out that she smelt a bunch of testosterone as soon as she opened the door to Tyler's mansion.
Yeah.
She's like, it's stinky.
It's stinky. It's stinky in here.
Also, but there was a moment after that where Tyler was like, that's all the hybrids. They're my bodyguards. And Caroline is like, oh, your mom's? It's like, where's your mom?
Where would the mayor just get hunks to stand around?
Like half vampire, half werewolf hunks?
The mayor can afford it.
Yeah.
The town has a municipal hunk budget.
I'm going to kink Fame Damon specifically for the one line he had with Connor the Hunter, where Connor was just like, they were in the hospital and he's like, I thought you were a germaphobe. And Damon's like, did I say germaphobe? I meant vampire.
That was good.
That was great.
Great line. Guess me every time. I'm going to kink shame. Did you kink shame Rebecca, Hannah?
I don't believe I did.
No,
I kink shamed Connor for not making a good bomb trap.
I'm going to kink shame Rebecca this episode because, I mean, Elena's rage at her is right.
Mm-hmm.
And Rebecca's just being mean girl about it.
Rebecca, honestly, like the best thing for her is worse for us in that, like, the best thing for her is to leave town and start anew without her brother.
Mm. But it felt like Rebecca really regressed this episode.
She's been regressing.
She is by far the most interesting character on the show right now. Like, I would much rather. I like Caroline a lot, but Rebecca has just so much going on. All this self-loathing, this hatred, this conflict, this weird obsession that she has with a child, Matt.
Yeah. Okay, so here's a fun potential for Rebecca that they won't do. But, something that the reason, she's already established that the reason that she's, like, interested in all of the classic high school stuff was because she didn't get to do any of that, right?
Mm.
A lot of that is because she was around way before any of that stuff was established.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. I do think that there's like some really interesting potential parallels there, like to someone who had to grow up too quickly and then is still I never got to go to the prom. Like, I still want to like have done that. And then like,
you mean Elena?
Matt. No, Elena's getting her cake and eating it too. Like, she,
Elena hasn't been to school in weeks.
At the start
canonically,
of this episode. Canonically, Elena's been in school and is attending.
We just never see it.
At the start of this episode, they mentioned it's been 2 weeks since she's been in school.
Oh, yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I think the whole school kind of had off because of the mass death.
But there is like room for Rebecca, like for that storyline to be about her like setting away childish things and like stepping into her own as an adult in a way that she never could before because she was always under Klaus's.
And if Klaus's, Matt dates like a wild vampire girly and it's the first time he can be a little irresponsible.
Right, because it's also like
what?
It would be the first time. Right. Because he's had to be so responsible. And he had to grow up so quickly.
That thing in romance where it's like, oh, the thing that they need is the thing the other one needs to get rid of. It's like, oh, I can see beauty in your flaws because it's something that
But there's also like, if they do get together, there could be this thing of like, hi, we're two people who had to grow up really quickly. So even though we're a little stunted in some ways, like we have to overcome that anyway.
Yeah.
And now Matt might have gotten a taste for being tasted.
Ooh.
If Elena suddenly stops drinking from him, maybe he's kind of like,
maybe he's into that now.
Ooh. Where do I get my fix?
That's fine.
I mean, yeah, also like kind of everything for him in that arena was started off by Elena. So it's just like another thing to add
his
to the list.
His entire life revolves around Elena. Like, he almost dies every other episode because of like the stuff going on in Elena's life. Mm. He's not as ingrained in any of this lore or anything else as anyone else. And yet he's constantly getting dragged into it.
We do need him there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you know what else is putting me on the Rebecca and Matt train is that she sees herself as someone who is like
put everything aside and sacrificed everything for Klaus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he has done that for Elena.
And his mom.
And his mom.
And it, like, Vicky. That's a pattern, like, in his life, yeah, right?
So it's not even growing up. It's like, I've had to shape all of my behaviors around some other central figure. And now who am I?
Yeah.
They're the yin to each other's yang, because, like, the way that Matt has shaped himself from his responsibilities is into a good person, whereas Rebecca has shaped herself into a shitty little bitch because she's hanging out with Klaus, who is a shitty little bitch.
Yeah. Bad influence.
Yeah.
She definitely has the capacity to not be a shitty little bitch in her, but has never seen anyone make that choice.
Yeah.
And this has been The Vampire Journals. We watched season 4, episode 3 of The Vampire Diaries, The Rager.
Yeah.
And Rager.
Do we have any, do you want to plug Bridget's stuff?
Brum, 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 bam. Head on over to Galaxy Brain Design for the latest designs from galaxy-sized brains.
Great. That was new.
Thanks for those good ad-libs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to The Vampire Journals. To support us, you can subscribe, share, and visit our website, journalspodcast.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at journalspodcast.
In the Belichis?
In the, where was that?
The Ababa.